In the days after the train derailment, hundreds of people living in and around East Palestine reported various health symptoms, like headaches, coughs, and rashes. We wanted to understand what it was like to live through this disaster, especially for parents. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant spoke with Zhuja Jenness, mother of a 9-year-old boy, who has since moved away from East Palestine because she says the contamination was making them feel sick.
Before the derailment, things weren't perfect in Zhuja Jenness's life, but they were going pretty well.
My son was thriving in school, and previously when COVID happened, that was hard because everything went online, but when schools went back into session, he was doing really great and we were happy.
But on the night of February 3rd, they were up late crafting in the living room of their downtown East Palestine apartment. It was past 9 o'clock when they noticed flames out their front window. Jenna says they had no idea what was going on. She started texting with her neighbors, and that's how they found out there had been a train derailment about a half mile down the road. And people were speculating where the flames were coming from. Was there malt liquor on board?
I wasn't really scared yet because I felt like if it was that serious, like there would be more urgency and more action or information, but there was like nothing. I was like, okay, well, it must not be that big of a deal. Like, they've got it under control, obviously.
Jenice and her son walked outside into the dark, frigid night to check things out.
And then we saw like these huge flames, like hundreds of feet tall. And I was like, this is bad.
So they rushed back inside and watched from the window as sirens blared through the night.
It was really crazy. And my son, he's 9, he loves fire engines, police cars, so all that stuff. So he was like reenacting it with his toys and was like running back and forth to the window, like, you know, counting up all like the undercover cop cars and all this crazy stuff. And he's like, this is exciting, but it's scary at the same time.
Thankfully, her son finally fell asleep, but she stayed up trying to figure out what was going on and worrying.
Around 3 in the morning, I'm still awake trying to text people, asking the neighbors. Everyone's like, did you just hear that explosion? Because it was constantly exploding. There was these flames, like just, and they would go up and they would get it down and then it would restart and these explosions, these booms, and everyone's just like freaking out. Like, what do we do? Like, what's going on? And nobody had any information.
Then she heard a strange, loud noise coming from her son's room. She got up and rushed in.
It's like walking into a bleach, like a closet where, you know, half it spilled on the floor and it's been locked up. Like, it hits you like that. And he, my son, is, you know, up in his bed coughing, vomiting, like projectile vomiting, shaking. He's gasping for air, begging for water.
She was terrified and could feel it in her body, too.
You immediately get this film on your mouth and your tongue. Just breathing in there, like, you know there's something in there and your body's telling you. It was like a huge warning sign, and he's obviously sick, wasn't sick before, and, you know, I thought it was in my head until within a few minutes. That's all it took. And then, you know, I was like, we gotta go. So we left immediately.
She grabbed a bag and they hopped in the car and drove 20 miles east to a hotel in Chippewa, Pennsylvania, near her son's grandmother.
And we get there like 5 in the morning. He finally like gets to sleep and he throws up like one more time and then he just passes out.
When he woke up later that morning, she says he seemed fine, back to his normal self.
But he started developing these rashes on his arms, which was weird because he hadn't been in contact with anything like that.
This was Saturday. Over the weekend, they spent time with his grandmother. It was Monday when Ohio Governor Mike DeWine and other public officials held a live-streamed press conference where they explained what was about to happen. That afternoon, they planned to vent the chemical vinyl chloride from 5 of the rail cars and purposely burn it. Otherwise, they worried it could explode.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine and Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro are ordering an immediate evacuation in a 1-mile by 2-mile area surrounding East Palestine, which includes both Ohio and Pennsylvania.
DeWine pointed to a map, a red circle around the area closest to the derailment site. That's where their East Palestine apartment was.
Those in the red area are facing grave danger of death.
That afternoon, after the chemical burn had taken place in East Palestine, Janice was saying goodbye to her son's grandmother.
I stepped outside to go back to the hotel, and it was literally like a black wall, like in the middle of her street. It looked like fog, but very, very dark. It was black, but it wasn't like hovering up high or anything. It was like a whole wall. And I turned around, right, went back in, and she's immune compromised, has health issues too. And I said, we have to go. Like, we all have to go. And she went outside and her face just turned white and we left. We all left.
As they drove off, Jenna thought government officials would expand the evacuation zone to where she and her family were, but they didn't.
So I'm like, how is this safe?
She says they rushed to get further away, to Monaca, PA, where her son's father works. But that's also where Shell's ethane cracker plant is located. She worried that the pollution from East Palestine was mixing with emissions from Shell, and she didn't want her family to stay there, so they kept going.
Yeah, so we left there and we went into Cranberry, Pennsylvania, which is where we've been since.
Janice and her son are still living at a hotel further east in Cranberry, and he's been going to school online. And she tells me, as we stand outside on a chilly October day, that though he's hardly been back to East Palestine, he's had mysterious health issues since last February.
It was like 2 or 3 months later, he started getting these splotches on his face, like only on his face. And they would show up and last for like maybe anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour, and then they would go away. And none of his specialists can, you know, tell us what it is or what's causing it.
It's all been a lot for Janice herself to understand, so it's been really hard to figure out how to talk with her son about it, to help him make sense of what's happened, why he's not at his old school, and is living at a hotel miles from home.
How is this shaping a child's viewpoint of what the world is and what it means to be good, or what it means to find justice or, you know, safety even? Who can he trust?
That's a tough one. Even many adults have been asking this question. Can they trust the government, the EPA, Norfolk Southern? Can they even trust their own doctors to help them? For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.